Well, hello everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, January the 24th, 2014. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, how is everyone? I certainly hope you are keeping warm. I'm just going to say it is just cold. That's all I can say. It's cold. We've had, 8 to 10 inches of snow here in the Mid-Atlantic area. I know other places farther north have gotten well over a foot. And yes, I know it is January, but really, oh gosh. Anyway, okay, you know, as I said last week, winter's still blasting its way through. And yes, we did have a blast this week, but okay. 2 months from now, things will be looking brighter. So I hope you've had a good week in spite of it all, and I do hope you're keeping warm and dry. Well, here is a news item that was just shared with me this morning. I understand that tomorrow's meeting, scheduled for tomorrow, the 25th of January, for the Central Maryland chapter of OGS, the Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society, has been canceled. Now, it is expected that although it's going to be in the low 30s, it's extremely windy and it's going to feel like 18 degrees, and they're calling for snow. Even though the snow accumulation is not expected to be high, it could be a bit messy. And a message from Alice Harris, who is the chapter president, has gone out. And so tomorrow's meeting will be rescheduled at a later date. But for the safety of all the members, tomorrow's meeting on the 25th of January has been canceled. On with the news in the African-American genealogy community, and there's a lot to share with you. And I was quite fascinated by an article that was shared with me coming out of Hack Genealogy. Hack Genealogy, as you know, comes from the work of Thomas McKenty of Genie Bloggers fame, the blogging guru out there that many of us know. Well, I was really excited to see and to read an interview that he conducted with a person called Dana Saxon, who's the founder of Ancestors Unknown. This is really, really a neat initiative where this woman is making an amazing effort to take genealogy and to take it to young people, to young Latino people, and to young African American people. And I was just so excited to see the interview and to see what she is doing. She's working with young people. How many times do we hear people say all the time, how do we get young people involved? What can we do to get them interested in genealogy and an effort to preserve history? Well, this is truly something that is wonderful. She is this now working in terms of incorporating this into just not just teaching these young people facts, but this is being incorporated into the curriculum, into their coursework, and it's so exciting to see. Now, I want you to take a look at the article. It's on hackgenealogy.com, and the article is called Ancestors Unknown, Bringing the Power of Genealogy to Today's Youth. What a fascinating effort that this woman is doing. She is also, of course, welcoming support. And if you want to make a donation or even just give any type of assistance that you can, there is a way for you to do that to support her, what she's doing. And in terms of location, this is coming out of actually two places, coming out of Charleston, South Carolina, and coming out of Paramaribo in Suriname in South America. Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And take a look at what is going on. This initiative is truly, truly amazing. Dana Saxon, You are to be commended for your work. Thanks, Thomas, for bringing this to our attention. I am just so excited to see what she's doing. I think, and you've heard me say this in the past, this is one of those projects that could become a model for the rest of us. Great job, Thomas, letting us know about her. And Dana Saxon, I might be in touch with you. I am just so thrilled to hear what you're doing and how you are motivating young people and really just helping them to, inspire and create their own legacy. This is the type of thing that we need to see more of, and hats off to her, and just so very excited. And of course, I'm putting a link for you on the podcast website. I am really happy to share some activity that is coming out of Texas. You don't hear a lot about Texas and things that are going on. Well, here's some information coming out of Waco, Texas. And I was just really, really happy to hear about this. There's going to be, in fact, it's less than a month away now, there's going to be an all-day African-American genealogy workshop. This is going to be in Waco, Texas at the Waco Library and Genealogy Center. Now, one of the presenters is someone who does have a very strong reputation in the genealogy community, Franklin Carter Smith. He's the author of A Genealogist's Guide to Discovering Your African American Ancestors, How to Find and Record Your Unique Heritage. He's also a co-author of a book with Emily Krum as well. Interesting, I'm sure that his presentation is going to be, and a chance to really hear him. He did a wonderful job on his book. I don't know if he has a new edition of it out or not, but if you're in that vicinity around Waco, driving distance, I think you should really go and hear him. Now, besides that, they're going to have a number of things that are going to be presented. Mary Evans is going to give a presentation on using social media. And, you know, let's face it, that's where the activity is. If there's any place where there is movement in terms of a growing population, it's on social media in terms of genealogy activity. So I'm glad to see that that's going to be a topic as well. Edith Smith is going to be talking about researching deeds, and this is something that many of us don't always think about in terms of looking into property, how property was acquired, how sometimes it was lost, how property changed hands. So all of this is really quite interesting. And of course, what's the beginning step for genealogists besides looking at the treasures in your own home? Is oral history. And Vivian Rutherford is going to explore oral traditions and really the how to go about capturing some of that information in terms of oral history from the family. Information is there. There's a contact phone number for you, and I'm going to put it there on the podcast website so you can see it. This is just really, really good news. And again, this is a week after I found information about the Texas slavery database. I referred to that last week. Go back and take a look at that site if you've not seen it. Also, if you have ancestors who may have just been briefly in Texas, I strongly encourage you to go and look at that database again. I mentioned it last week. I'm going to put a link for you to that database again. Just some really, really good information. And I'm so happy to see activity coming out of Texas. There is a researcher, by the way, if you have a chance to ever hear her present, Sharon Batiste Gillens comes out of Galveston, Texas, and serious presenter, excellent in terms of not just her delivery, but the information that she has to present is outstanding. And she is a person who has strong skill set in terms of utilizing Record Group 105. And by the way, I'd say go back and listen to her interview on Bernice Bennett's show about a month or so ago. Outstanding. Some database news for you. And this is kind of a neat thing to hear about. There's some Mississippi information coming out. Mississippi Death Records Database by County. Wow, I wish every state had this. I certainly wish that my states had database information on death records by county. My goodness. Well, this information rests on the Virtual Genealogy Information Database, which is virtualgenealogy.info. But I'm going to put the full link because it's kind of a long URL to get to it, and it's certainly one of those that's just so long too long to mention here. But take a look at it. It's some good information. I pulled up, I'm going to put a link to you, for example, for Benton County, and you'll see information that's there sorted by name. Now, this is covering the years 1912 to 1943, but that's a good span, and it is kind of interesting to be able to see that kind of data. It's just a click away, and wow, good information on whether the deceased was African American or was not, information by race and by year. Good information. I'm assuming that this information is fairly complete, but then I can't say that with certainty. They may be still adding to it, but it really, really, really looks like it's something that you may want to explore. Well, some information was shared with me this week, and this is a bit different. I'm stepping outside of the country, and this is information coming out of the UK. Now, this is kind of different. You know, we hear a lot of information about various things, such as the slave ship manifests. I know that last week, Bernice had Claire Pluskins from the National Archives talk about the slave ship manifests, but those were not slave ships coming from outside of the U.S. They were coming from leaving U.S. ports, going to another port further south. But there's some information now coming out about the slave trade, the Atlantic slave trade, and this is from the UK. And it really looks as if it's going to be, I think, well, it's important, it's significant, and it could be shaping things in terms of how history will be written in future texts. Anyway, this is coming out of the Foreign Office, and this was reported in The Guardian. And The Guardian publication indicated that the British Foreign Office apparently has had a secret archive for centuries. And this secret archive, well, it contains a number of things, but included in the secret archive are documents reflecting British merchants and their involvement in the African slave trade. Now, of course, we know the Atlantic slave trade incorporated many, many countries, but the fact is that we know, yes, Portugal was involved, Spain was involved, and they went through other parts of the Americas, but coming out of England, coming out of the UK, many of those who were certainly captured and enslaved were brought to some of the British Isles, but also to North America. And this is what's going to be of interest to those who are of African ancestry here in America, to see what's going to unfold. Now, what are we talking about? These records, first of all, these records go back to the 1600s. So this is extensive. And we're talking about, and I can't even imagine, 1.2 million files of records that have been hidden at the Foreign Office. Apparently this is in Hounslow Park in Buckinghamshire countryside, which is to the north of London. And I'm going to read just a small quote of what it says. Now, I mentioned the 1.2 million files. This is believed to link to or to contain the 1.2. That's going to contain 2.9 million documents. And anyway, Let me read this small paragraph, and I quote, "The scale of the hidden archive is demonstrated by an inventory that the Foreign Office has published, which appears to show that one of the listed items may itself contain 2.9 million documents understood to occupy around 15 miles of shelving at Hanslope Park. Although this is difficult to verify, as the Foreign Office says, it will not permit members of the media to enter the compound," unquote. Now, what does that mean? That means that there's a lot of data. It might reflect where certain ships went when they departed England, went to the west coast of Africa, and landed someplace in the Americas, conceivably from Rhode Island all the way down to Charleston. Who knows? It could be interesting. Probably not name rich in terms of the enslaved, but then one does not know. But of course, the perspective is that it's really reflecting the business of the trade itself. It is hard to imagine, but it's really hoped that something is going to be done in the coming weeks that will allow archivists and historians to actually examine these records. And of course, even if they're allowed to examine them soon, it's going to be a few years before these records will ever get in the public domain. So we do have to understand that. But can you imagine the magnitude and the implications? New texts, new analyses, as well as just brand new data. This could alter the paradigm in terms of historiography. This is just totally amazing. Now, it should be pointed out that in this hidden archive, this is not a slave trade archive. This is an archive that covers many different time periods and many aspects of history for Britain. Well, it's also interesting because I'm sure that there are scholars from other academic sectors who are going to be interested in getting into this archive as well. Now, what was not disclosed was just like what percentage would the slavery era documents be of this archive. That's difficult to say. It's very possible that the colonial era is just a portion, whether it's half, less than half, probably less than half, but still, what percentage, we don't know. But this is a story we want to pay attention to. This is a very important article, and everyone with an interest in history is urged to pay attention to it. I'm going to put a link for you there. As I said, this comes from The Guardian, theguardian.com. And again, these slave trade papers, this should be fascinating to see. So let's certainly pay attention. And you know, we sometimes forget that, you know, we are citizens of the world, and history certainly goes beyond the confines of our territorial borders. So, you know, yes, we know we got here, and sometimes we tend to focus only on what happened after we reached the shores. But there was a business that certainly perpetuated the trade itself, and it's certainly something to pay attention to. So let's certainly all keep our eyes and ears open for that. By the way, of course, we keep hearing about all kinds of collaborations going on, and I'm hoping that this will have a positive impact on those researching African ancestors as well. Ancestry.com announced that they're going to extend their collaboration with Family Search. This is going to be international, and it's going to now incorporate a billion additional records from 67 countries are going to be certainly acquired or accessed, I'll put it that way. Many are already digitized and are there, put online by Family Search. You know, Family Search is totally amazing, but now there's going to be a relationship with Ancestry as well. I can't even imagine a billion records. I can't imagine a billion of anything, but a billion global historical records are going to be coming out of the vaults. And this is just wonderful. So again, you know what you maybe heard about 2 or 3 months ago about the relationship. It's continuing and it's expanding. And it is something that we should all be paying attention to. By the way, I want to share a few websites with you. These were brought to my attention, and I was just really excited. I'm not sure if they are necessarily brand new websites, but it's new to me, so I'm sharing it with you. One comes out of Kentucky, Boyle and Casey County African American Records. I had never seen this site before, and I was kind of excited just to see some of the data that's there. Now, this rests on a Roots website, and the information, though, seems quite extensive and quite impressive. There are marriage declarations, African American deaths before 1911, information, of course, in terms of slave census records, also free blacks, dead information there coming out of Kentucky about people who were free before emancipation. There's also a section which anyone who researches those two counties, as I said, I'm referring to Boyle and Casey counties in Kentucky, slaves that were mentioned in the county wills. You know, we're always looking for those wills, those probate records, and we need to have that information. And someone just compiled all these useful sites and all these useful places where data can be found. There was a school for the deaf in Kentucky, and there was a quote-unquote colored division, a link there, all kinds of fascinating things that one can certainly glean, information on cemeteries, information on deaths. Wow, just great cemeteries, of course. Some of them are church cemeteries, and some are actually links to sites on Find a Grave where they've already been captured in terms of the headstones, and information has been shared. And it's just really exciting. So as I said, I don't really know how recent this site is. Well, I do know it has been updated recently, which is why someone had shared the update, but I don't know how old it is. It could be a site that's been there for a while, but it's new to me, which is why I'm sharing it with you. Take a look, though. Good information on Kentucky. And speaking of Kentucky, I have to just throw this out there. If you're on Facebook, I hope some of you have been following this story about the mysterious and elegant lady whose photo was recently purchased on eBay, a lady from Kentucky, Winchester, Kentucky. We're not certain as to who she is. I took a real educated guess based on just a few things I was putting together, based on the woman's clothing and other clues in the photograph. Many of us believe that it could be a woman called Rachel Anderson, but we've had a lot of fun with it, and I'll be the first to admit, no, I was not using the genealogy proof standard to truly say that this is who this lady is in the photo, but it's been interesting because a lot of people have been just sort of discussing the history of that area, Winchester, Kentucky, and even people now at Berea College are looking at it and saying, could this be who we may think it is, a woman who's an educator in the community? Anyway, it's been a lot of fun with that. So I'll put a link for you to take a look at. As I said, the thread rests on Facebook, but it's a Kentucky story. And when I mentioned the Boyle and Casey County records on the website, on the Roots website, I thought I'd mentioned the story of the lady in the black hat. Well, I want to mention another website that was shared. Again, it is new to me. This is kind of different. I know a thread in social media had come up in terms of how many people have had an opportunity to meet descendants of slaveholding families, families that had enslaved your own family. And I shared an article where, in fact, a gentleman found me. A gentleman reached out to me, and he is a descendant of a slaveholder in my family line, on one of my lines. And but someone also passed on a link to a link to a site that I wasn't familiar with, and I've heard of Coming to the Table. Many people are familiar with that, But there's a site I thought was interesting, and it's called Bittersweet, linked through slavery.com. I want you to take a look at it. It is interesting. Apparently, these are individuals who are sharing their stories, and they are descendants of both enslaved people and slaveholders. And it's quite interesting. They're telling their stories. Some are heart-wrenching stories. Some will touch your heart. Some of them are reacting to things that they've read. But they're a group of descendants were saying, okay, we're linked through slavery, but we have a story, we have something to share. And the articles are well written. So I would simply say, just take a look at their site. I gather that some of them may be met through the Coming to the Table project, but they're working together on their own to share how they are linked, and to also just reflect. One person wrote an interesting story. I was sorry I didn't get the name of the woman she was writing about, except I was happy to see that she was referred to as Mrs. Jones, as opposed to Annie or Essie or something that a lot of elderly black women were called by their first name. But it was a story about an elderly lady that this person remembered who was in the family, who spent the rest of her life with this family. I take it she was a woman of color. And he realized that when he met her in the 1950s, she was said to be over 100 years old. And only after this person was an adult did it register, wow, this was probably the last person in the family that had been enslaved. And wow, that's a very, very sobering kind of memory to have. But that's just one of many articles. Take a look. It's kind of interesting. The writers have done a good job. I think there are, let's see here. In fact, I recognize the name of Juan Dion Forda. I've recognized her name. Let's see. There's seven, I believe, writers so far. Well-written stories. And what we do is tell stories. We know that. And I urge you to take a look. My goal for have you to look at it, besides just reading something interesting, of course, to find another vehicle for you to tell your story. That's what we all do, is tell our stories. And this is just a very, very good link. And I hope that you will have a chance to explore it. By the way, coming up in February, I was happy to see this, and I have to say thank you to James Commander for sharing some information. Greenville, South Carolina is having an event in February, Saturday, February 1st, from 10 to 2 p.m. It's called Finding Your Family History. And this is going to take place in Greenville at the Hughes Library, the main library, Hughes Main Library in Greenville, South Carolina. And they're going to be talking about a number of things, researching databases, church histories, education trails, census data, alternative methods to research. And it looks as if it's going to be interesting. James Commander, who shared the information, whom I met in Nashville back in October when the National Ox Conference was there, he is the noted author of Love at Our Roots, and he'll also be on hand for a book signing. So it looks as if it's going to be a nice event, and I do hope that individuals will certainly try and make that. February the 1st is also, of course, an event for many genealogy societies for Saturday in the month. The Baltimore Agnes K. Callum chapter is having their meeting, which is always an open house where people can come in and look at the exhibits and see what people have to share about their own histories. A lot of fun, free, open to the public at the Enoch Pratt Library at Cold Spring and Loch Raven in Baltimore City. And there is at the African American Civil War Museum same day. February 1st, that's a busy day, Melvin Collier, noted author and blogger, is going to be telling the history of his ancestor, Edward Danner, who was a soldier in the United States Civil War, and he served with the United States Colored Troops. The first Saturday of every month at the African American Civil War Museum is known as Descendants Day, where descendants are invited to come in and tell the story of their ancestors at the museum. And it's a great chance to hear Melvin. Melvin is a wonderful presenter. And I'll put some information there for you. If you're in Washington or driving distance of Washington, you do want to get to the African American Civil War Memorial and Museum to hear Melvin give his presentation as well. I mentioned earlier Bernice Bennett's show. Well, if you missed her show last night, I do hope that you will have a chance to tune in and listen. Have you ever, and before I talk about it, I'll ask you a question. Have you ever gone to a library, a genealogy library repository, and pulled books off the shelf and looked at different heritage projects, heritage books? And you look through page after page and see these beautiful narratives that people have made on their families. But you see few, not many, African American families that are represented. Well, one has to give a special congratulations to the folks in Chicago. The Chicago Afro-American Genealogical and Historical Society of Chicago, AAGHSC, I got the initials right. Well, they have produced, and this was what, 3 years ago or so, a beautiful, beautiful heritage book. Last night on Bernie Spinnett's show, Janice Minor Forte, who really sort of was, I'll say, the driving force behind it. Certainly she and others worked together, and she said really there was a steering committee of about 6 to 8 people. They really put it together in just an amazing way. And although there were a few audio problems, it is worth it to hear some of the things that she talked about in terms of the process. And I urge you to tune in because, you know, a heritage book might just be the right project for your own organization to undertake. It is involved, and she talked about it. It was involved and involved an awful lot. But you know what? The book itself, I have seen it, and it is absolutely gorgeous. It's well done. And they did an outstanding job. Listen to the story. Listen to some of the procedures that she outlined. And it might be the right thing that you may want to undertake yourself. As I said, there were a few audio problems. So you may in a couple of spots have a hard time hearing her. But when you do hear her, oh my gosh, it's really very, very inspiring. And I really hope that others will get involved with a similar project as well. By the way, I hope that you are looking around and making your plans for this year. Registration has opened up for Samford, the Institute of Genealogical and Historical Research in Birmingham, Alabama. This is the year there is an African American track. So if Maggie is not on your calendar, take a look and see if Samford will offer what certainly you may feel that you need. Take a look. And speaking of Maggie, I've got to do that. I want to announce that the Institute, of course, which will take place in St. Louis, July 8th through the 10th, well, the first scholarship has been announced, and there is going to be a scholarship offered again by Evolution Consulting, and this will be for a participant for track number 1. That's Basic Methods and Strategies for African American Genealogy that is coordinated by Dr. Shelley Murphy. There is a scholarship that is available, and I'm going to put the link there for you so you can see what is required if you want to participate in that track and want to see if you might win a scholarship. Certainly take a look. And also keep your eyes posted. There are going to be some other scholarships that are going to be announced in the next week or 10 days or so. So this is your opportunity. And of course, you know, as I always say, I hope I will see you there and hope that we will meet in St. Louis. Have you noticed that, and I'm really excited about this, that people are taking an initiative and are saying, hey, you know what? There are a lot of us here. There are a lot of us who haven't met each other. There are a lot of us online. Well, there are a lot of OBA meetups that are taking place. Now, you're probably saying, what did she just say? OBA what? OBA. Our Black Ancestry, that's a community on Facebook that was launched by Sharon Morgan in Chicago, I believe. No, I think Sharon lives someplace else. Anyway, Sharon Morgan, though, is the one who launched the Our Black Ancestry group. And it's a great place online to meet, ask questions, and just get a lot of things answered and interact. Well, someone put together an idea about 3 weeks ago. Hey, why don't we meet? There are people in D.C. Let's meet and have lunch and talk genealogy. We did. We had a great time. I was there. I was one of the people in the group. We met at Bus Boys and Poets on U Street and had a wonderful time. Well, there is now talk about a meetup being planned in Northern California. And I also understand that the people in New Jersey and the Philadelphia area are also planning to just get together, hello, talk shop, and meet each other. What wonderful, wonderful ways to just network. It's about networking more than anything else and sharing. And it's just exciting to see this kind of energy that is out there. So I do hope that if people have these meetups, they will put up photos that we can all enjoy as well. And, you know, this is the benefit of interacting with people on social media. Sometimes you can have a real-time, real-world meeting. And, you know, it is good to have that kind of experience. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own online world, and we don't know people until we really meet them. And it's just great to see this kind of interaction that is taking place. And I'm just really excited about that. By the way, I wanted to encourage you to pay attention. I mentioned Facebook. Take a look at what's going on. Now, you know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Afrogenius now has a Facebook community. I want to remind you that Afrogenius also has a page, has a fan page. And don't forget to go and visit the Afrogenius page, Beyond the Community, where you can find some of the most remarkable biographies and photographs of individuals. And I'm hoping that you'll take a look, because sometimes you find some of the most beautiful and I'll just simply say little known, as what is it that's sometimes referred to? I think Tom Joyner calls it little known Black history facts. Well, you know what? You find a lot of them on Afrogenius. And I'm referring to the fan page, which, by the way, has over 21,000 likes. You may want to go and visit it and take a look. Amazing, amazing images. This is, again, a partner page to the Afrogenius.com website, which has tons of information there for you. Anyway, I just wanted to remind you about that, and of course, become a member of the community. We have over 1,100 members, and this is what, less than a month that we have, and it's just growing daily, and just a lot of energy and a lot of positive activity that's going on in the community. Anyway, oh my goodness, I'm just looking at the time. I think I better wind it down for this week. But lots of things to look at, lots of things to explore, lots of things that are just unfolding in terms of just news items from the genealogy community. And again, it's a great time to be a part of this community. And of course, I thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to listen to me. I know you have other things that you could be doing. But in the meantime, my goodness, I appreciate you for sharing information. Those of you who sent me emails and updates on some of the projects that you're involved in, thank you so very much. And gosh, stay warm. It is frigid out there. And of course, I do want you to continue to do what you do, and you know what that is. Keep researching, keep documenting, and yes, always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.